Hello again, Nigel Ogden here with another packed edition of The Organist Entertains, and tonight we start here in Greater Manchester with a visit to the Paramount Organ Studios in Bolton, where Ron Curtis is the proud custodian of his fine Compton organ, the basis of which originally came from the Odeon in Liverpool. Well, here's Ron at the console. What a perfect combination. Ron Curtis playing his own four-manual Compton. What a perfect combination. And incidentally, don't forget that Ron holds concerts on the second Sunday of every month. And if you'd like further details, write to Ron Curtis at the Paramount Organ Studios, Smith's Road, Bolton. Well, Keith Beckingham joins us now on Hammond Aurora Classic with some of those marvellous tunes which never seem to lose their popularity from My Fair Lady.
Thank you.
Get Me to the Church, I Could Have Danced All Night, and On the Street Where You Live, three tunes from My Fair Lady, played for us there by Keith Beckingham on Hammond Aurora Classic. Well, that particular track was recorded in our Playhouse studios here in Manchester, which, as you will doubtless know by now, is also the home of the BBC theatre organ, which is all switched on and raring to go, as Alec Leader informs us that he can't help singing. Fortunately, you won't be able to hear him for the noise of the organ. Can't help singing, Alec Leader at the BBC Theatre Organ. Well, the instrument details on the sleeve of this next record simply state Harry Stoneham playing Hammond organ, electric harpsichord, electric piano, jangle and celeste. So here he is with a medley of three, plus a little help from a few friends as well. Thank you. Jerry Stoneham and Friends with Big Spender, The Pink Panther and The Stripper. Now, we've recently become aware of a fascinating organisation called ECODA. And if you, like me, aren't too sure what ECODA is all about, I'm pleased to welcome to the programme David Nunes, who is about to tell us. Welcome to the show, David. What is ECODA?
Thank you, Nigel. ECODA stands for the Electronic Keyboard and Organ Distributors Association.
That is really impressive. What are you within the organisation yourself?
Well, I'm chairman of the marketing committee. ECODA is set up really as a forum for all the distributors in this country and manufacturers, where we get together four times a year to discuss the business as a whole and try and make sure we're putting our best face forward.
I see. So what are the actual aims and objectives of the association, and why did it come into existence in the first place?
Well, there have always been various trade associations. In the early days, there was a general music association. But about 10 years ago, the organ distributors, as they then were, felt that their own needs were far different to the bulk of other musical instruments, because there were organ specialist shops, for instance. And so to reflect this, they broke out on their own. Organ distributors make up something like, I think, 35% of all musical instruments sold in this country. Mm. And they felt, therefore, they were a special case and had special problems, gained by size and the complexity of the product and that sort of nature of problem. Mm.
So, in other words, any electronic organ manufacturer that's distributing in this country can belong to your association?
Yes, and in fact, everyone does. There is not one exception.
Is that compulsory, then?
No, it isn't.
No, but no, everyone chooses to do, yes. Do so, yes. What are the current trends in electronic organs and this sort of thing? I know we had a chat about this a few weeks ago, and, you know, organs are changing, aren't they?
Yes, I'm delighted to say the trends are upward. There's been a few years when, due to a general recession, it's been a little flat in some areas of the business. But the latest figures I have, which take us to September this year, show the market increasing by about 10% at the moment, overall.
And is that covering everything, that instruments into homes and clubs and
Absolutely everything. Within that, there's been a very major success story. I mean, the market as a whole is, I think, £94 million. A fairly sizable market. It surprises most people. But within that, there was a market, sub-market, that 4 years ago didn't exist, the keyboards, the single keyboards. Right. And 4 years ago, that was zero. At the moment, that market's worth about £35 million. So it's come from nowhere to take up that bigger proportion. Yes.
Our dear listeners will know that one of my favourite hobby horses is this business of calling modern electronic instruments organs, because, you know, so many of them are not producing organ-like sounds anymore. Now, do you feel that, whereas in the early days of electronics there was a great similarity between electronics and pipe organs in as much as the design and the sound they were trying to create, are electronics and pipes getting further and further apart now, do you reckon?
Yes, I think there are certainly different directions. The larger double manual organs that people have in the home still, I think, are essentially organs, no matter what technology is added. The idea behind the single keyboard, though, is more to broaden the number of people buying instruments. It's brought the price down, essentially, and given people who want to have a try at playing music, something they can handle, get some nice sounds out of, and then if they're hooked and want to go on further, they can go on to bigger and better keyboards or organs.
Yeah, yeah. Modern electronic technology is developing all the time at such a rate. Mm. Do you think that it's going to get to the stage where having one of these modern electronic keyboards is really just an alternative to putting on a record or a cassette?
Yes, it is a bit of a double-edged sword. I can see your point. The beauty of technology is it brings prices down and makes available to the average person who wants to play in their home a much wider repertoire than they could have ever hoped for 5-10 years ago.
Yeah.
But I think we're also all very conscious that the products can become overcomplicated if we don't be careful. Yeah. And at the end of the day, remember our consumer rather than musical aficionados.
Well, we're talking about technology developing as it is. Do you think it's a problem as far as dealers are concerned, people who are selling the things? They've got to sell the new products by the manufacturers, but they're not necessarily going to want to take in the more out-of-date ones in part exchange and this sort of thing. Now, is there a problem there?
It is certainly one of the major challenges facing the industry. because quite naturally people who have paid several thousand pounds for an organ 5 years ago are going to think, believe, quite rightly without expenditure, that it's still worth something. Mm. One could be cruel and say that if you bought a hi-fi of that value, if you got anything for it second-hand through the papers, you could count yourself lucky. But a tradition has grown up in the organ industry, similar to the car industry, where there is a trade-in value. But with increased technology, the trade-in values are decreasing every year.
Yes.
And it's a very difficult balance to keep, of keeping previous customers satisfied, whilst at the same time providing the most up-to-date products for new customers.
Right. How far ahead do manufacturers plan their new models?
I think it obviously varies a lot, but anything between 2 and 4 years, people are planning ahead.
Yeah.
In my own company, for instance, we know what we're planning to bring out in 1987.
Goodness me. That's definitely working in advance, yeah. Isn't it?
But yeah, you see, the chip technology, for instance, if you're buying a new chip, you have to go to your chip supplier and forecast what you're going to have, and he needs a year's warning very often.
Really?
There's those sort of complications involved.
Yeah. It's been interesting and sad in a lot of ways to see the disappearance over the last few months of some of the well-known big names in the electronic organ industry. Now, why do you think this has been, David?
I think it's not dissimilar to any other industry. There are many big names that we've all grown up with over the years that have disappeared from all sorts of industries. It's the fact that the world is changing. It is changing at an accelerating rate with technology. There are some companies that have invested in that technology and have grown with it, and some that haven't. And sadly, those that haven't kept pace go by the wayside.
Mm.
It's a very competitive world out there.
Yes, absolutely. Do you think, then, that electronic organs, which, sort of 10 years ago, closely resembled the mighty Wurlitz, as you know, the big horseshoe console and two or three manuals and a full pedal board and all this, and essentially produced organ-type sounds, are they going to disappear altogether from the
no,
market?
No, not at all. Yes. It's still a very popular and desired sound. Mm. And even the most up-to-date products, £20,000 and thereabouts, you can still make those sounds. The difference is, these days, you can make probably 1,000 extra sounds as well.
Mm. Well, it's a fascinating topic, and as you say, things are going so quickly, we'll just have to keep our eyes on it all the time to see how things are changing. Very good to have you with us, David. Thanks for coming
into
the studio.
It's a great pleasure, Nigel. Thank you.
Well, one of the instruments with which David's company is particularly concerned is the Bontempi. And here's Graham Wright to play the KP756 and keeping remarkably good time despite Leroy Anderson's syncopated clock. Syncopated Clock from Graham Wright on Bontempi KP756. Well, I'm sure not many people would deny that Jerome Kern must have written some of the most beautiful melodies ever composed. And here's one of them, All the Things You Are, given the William Davis treatment on the BBC Wurlitzer. Bill Davis at the BBC Theatre Organ and All the Things You Are. One of Britain's earliest Wurlitzers, a two-manual nine-rank instrument, was installed in London's Tivoli Cinema in the Strand in 1928, replacing an old Jardine straight organ. Terence Casey had played several of these church-type instruments for silent films, but it was after having opened the Tivoli Wurlitzer that he really began to make his name, and he was the first theatre organist to have his name emblazoned over the cinema entrance in electric lights. Terence Casey also spent some time playing a similar organ in the Regent at Brighton. He was a regular broadcaster until his death in 1972, and played some excellent programmes from the BBC Theatre Organ and the Trocadero, Elephant and Castle. Well, let's hear him now at the Tivoli Wurlitzer with Crazy Pirouette. Crazy Pirouette from Terence Casey playing the Tivoli Cinema Wurlitzer in the Strand round about 1930. Songs from the shows now, and they come from German Verzi organ star Franz Lambert.
Thank you.
Frans Lambert on Verzi Galaxy with Hello Dolly, Wunderbar, and A Touch of Jesus Christ Superstar thrown in for good measure. And providing a grand finale to this week's show, the impressive carillon by Herbert Murrill, played on the organ of Westminster Abbey by Simon Preston. Simon Preston playing carillon on the magnificent organ of Westminster Abbey, bringing this week's programme to a close. Thanks very much for your company during the past 40 minutes. Hope you'll be able to be with me again at 9:15 next Friday evening, when, amongst other things, we'll have recorded highlights from the Reginald Dixon 80th birthday concert, which was held at the Tower Ballroom, Blackpool, last November. So, join me for that if you can, but for now, with thanks to producer Peter Pilbeam, this is Nigel Ogden saying all the best, and bye for now.